old warhorse. During his stay at Karlovac, he frequently visited his cousin, Miliko Zoric, at the family estate in Tomingaj. Niko, who would often go there for vacations, found it to be a sort of sanctuary. At Karlovac, he was trained in languages and mathematics. His most influential professor was Martin Sekulic, a physics teacher who demonstrated the principles by apparatus of his own invention. It was a freely rotatable bulb with tinfoil coatings, which was made to spin rapidly when connected to a static machine. It is impossible for me to convey an adequate idea of the intensity of feeling I experienced in witnessing his exhibitions of these mysterious phenomena. Every impression produced 1,000 echoes in my mind. Through hard work, Tesla condensed the 4 years of schooling into 3 and began to plan a way to approach his father with his controversial decision not to enter the ministry, but to study engineering instead. "It is not humans that I love, but humanity," he tried to tell his father. During his last year at Karlovac, after a day of exploration by a nearby marsh, he caught a fever which he said was malaria. The seriousness of his condition may have been exacerbated by an inadequate diet. "I was fed by my aunt like a canary bird. When the colonel would put something substantial on my plate, she would snatch it away and say excitedly to him, 'Be careful, Niko is very delicate.' I had a voracious appetite and suffered like Tantalus. But I lived in an atmosphere of refinement and artistic taste quite unusual for those times and conditions." Upon graduation, Tesla received notice from his father that he should go on a hunting expedition, as there was an epidemic in town. The youth returned to Gospich anyway. The streets were stacked with corpses, the atmosphere thick with smoke, for the people mistakenly thought that cholera was being transmitted through the air rather than by drinking water. Partly due to his weakened condition from his earlier illness, Tesla quickly became a victim. Bedridden for 9 months, he nearly died. In one of the sinking spells, which was thought to be the last, my father rushed into the room. "Perhaps," I said, "I may get well if you will let me study engineering." "You will go to the best technical institution in the world," he solemnly replied, and I knew that he meant it. The Teslas settled on the Polytechnic School at Graz, Austria, located 170 miles to the north. First, however, the boy would have to serve 3 years in the army. With a major war breaking out against the Turks, Milutin directed his son to pack his gear and go into the hills to avoid the draft. There, the youth could maintain a low profile and at the same time recover his health. "For most of this term, I roamed in the mountains, loaded with a hunter's outfit and a bundle of books, and this contact with nature made me stronger in body as well as in mind. But my knowledge of principles was very limited." Misguided inventions of this period included a submarine tube, able to convey letters and packages across the seas, and a ring around the equator, for transporting people from one end of the globe to the other. One day, while playing with snowballs on the side of a mountain, however, Tesla discovered the concept of hidden trigger mechanisms able to unleash great reservoirs of energy. One found just the right conditions. It rolled until it was a large ball, and then spread out, rolling up the snow at the sides as if it were a giant carpet, and then suddenly it turned into an avalanche, stripping the mountainside clear of snow, trees, soil, and everything else it could carry with it. But contact with war was unavoidable, and on occasion the youth chanced upon its ravages. 25 years later, he would recall, "I have seen men hung, beaten to death, shot, quartered, stuck on a pointed stick, heads chopped off, and children on a bayonet like quails en broche at Delmonico's." Fortunately, Tesla avoided capture, and in 1875 he returned to Gospic. With a new fellowship from the Military Frontier Authority, he began school in Austria the following semester. 3. College years, 1875 to 82. "It has cost me years of thought to arrive at certain results, by many believed to be unattainable, for which there are now numerous claimants, and the number of these is rapidly increasing, like that of the colonels in the south after the war. Nikola Tesla. 80 miles south of Vienna, in the capital of the province of Styria, was the Polytechnic School in Graz. Milutin had chosen the school because it was one of the most advanced of the region. The physicist and philosopher Ernst Mach had taught there a few years earlier, as had the psychophysiologist Gustav Theodor Fechner. Planning on becoming a professor, Tesla undertook courses in arithmetic and geometry from Professor Rogner, a lecturer known for his histrionics. Theoretical and experimental physics with the punctilious German Professor Purschel, and integral calculus with Professor Alle. Alle was the most brilliant lecturer to whom I ever listened. He took a special interest in my progress, and would frequently remain for an hour or two in the lecture room, giving me problems to solve, in which I delighted. Other courses taken included analytical chemistry, mineralogy, machinery construction, botany, wave theory, optics, French, and English. To save money, he roomed with Kostas Kulishich, whom he had met at the Student Society of Serbia. Kulishich later became a professor of philosophy in Belgrade. Tesla plunged into his work with great intensity. Studying upwards of 20 hours a day, he changed his major to engineering and extended his curriculum to study other languages. He could speak about 9 of them, and the works of such writers as Descartes, Goethe, Spencer, and Shakespeare, many of which he knew entirely by heart. "I had a veritable mania for finishing whatever I began," he recalled, reflecting on his next self-appointed assignment. The collected works of Voltaire comprised 100 large volumes in small print, which that monster had written while drinking 72 cups of black coffee per diem. This task cured him of the compulsion, but did not serve to quell the pattern of relentless self-denial and self-determination. Because he was praised by his teachers, the other students became jealous, but at first Tesla remained unperturbed. Returning home the following summer, having passed his freshman year with all A pluses, the young scholar expected to be praised by his parents. Instead, his father tried to persuade his son to stay in Gospic. Unbeknown to Tesla, the teachers had written Milutin, warning that the boy was at risk of injuring his health by obsessively long and intense hours of study. A rift was created between father and son, perhaps in part because the military frontier authority had been abolished and the scholarship was no longer available. Reacting to the ridicule from other students who resented Tesla for his monastic study habits and close association with the faculty, Tesla took up gambling. He began to stay late at the Botanical Garden, the students' favorite coffee house, playing cards, billiards, and chess, attracting a large crowd to watch his skillful performances. Tesla's father led an exemplary life and could not excuse the senseless waste of time and money. "I can stop whenever I please," he told his father, "but is it worthwhile to give up that which I would purchase with the joys of paradise?" During his sophomore year, a direct current Gram dynamo was delivered from Paris to Professor Purschel's physics class. It was equipped with the customary commutator, a device that transferred the current from the generator to the motor. Electricity in its natural state is alternating. This means that its direction of flow changes rapidly. An analogous situation would be a river that flowed downstream, then upstream, then downstream, and so on many times per second. One can see the difficulty in harnessing such a river with, for instance, a water wheel, for the wheel would constantly change its direction as well. The commutator is comprised of a series of wire brushes that serve to transfer the electricity into only one direction of flow, that is, a direct current, DC. It is a cumbersome device and sparks considerably. When Professor Purschel displayed this up-to-date equipment, Tesla intuitively deduced that the commutator was unnecessary, and that alternating current, AC, could be harnessed unencumbered. He voiced this opinion, which appeared utterly fantastic at the time. Purschel devoted the rest of the lecture to a detailed explanation of how this goal was impossible. Driving the point home, Herschel embarrassed his student by disconnecting the superfluous commutator and noting with feigned surprise that the generator no longer worked.
"Mr. Tesla may do many things, but this he cannot accomplish. His plan is simply a perpetual motion scheme."
Tesla would spend the next 4 years obsessed with proving the professor wrong. Another invention Tesla worked on at the same time, but under the tutelage of Professor Alley, was that of a mechanical flying machine. As a child, Tesla had heard stories from his grandfather about Napoleon's employment of hot air balloons, which were used to observe enemy troop movements and for dropping bombs. No doubt he had also studied the principles involved in school, and quite possibly saw such futuristic creations floating in the Austrian skies when he went off to college. By his third year, Tesla was running into difficulties at school. Having surpassed his classmates in his studies, he became bored and frustrated by his inability to find a solution to his AC problem. He began to gamble more heavily, sometimes 24 hours at a stretch. Although Tesla tended to return his winnings to heavy losers, reciprocation did not occur, and one semester he lost his entire allowance, including the money for tuition. His father was fuming, but his mother came to him with a roll of bills and said, "Go and enjoy yourself. The sooner you lose all we possess, the better it will be. I know that you will get over it." The audacious youth won back his initial losses and returned the balance to his family. "I conquered my passion then and there," he wrote, "and tore it from my heart so as not to leave a trace of desire. Ever since that time, I have been as indifferent to any form of gambling as to picking teeth." This statement appeared to be an exaggeration, as Tesla gambled quite freely with his future and was known to play billiards when he came to the United States. An Edison employee recalled, "He played a beautiful game. Tesla was not a high scorer, but his cushion shots displayed skill equal to that of a professional exponent of this art." It has also been suggested that years later, in the early 1890s, Tesla bilked some of the wealthy socialites in New York by feigning minimal ability in the sport. Exam time came, and Tesla was unprepared. He asked for an extension to study, but was denied. He never graduated from the Austrian Polytechnic School and did not receive any grades for his last semester there. Most likely, he was discharged, in part for gambling and supposedly womanizing. According to his roommate, Tesla's cousins, who had been sending him money, therefore withdrew their aid. Fearing that his parents would find out, Tesla disappeared without word. Friends searched everywhere for him and decided that he had drowned in the river. Clandestinely packing his gear, Tesla traveled south over the border into Slovenia, where he arrived in Maribor in late spring of 1878 to look for work. He played cards with the local man on the streets, as is still the custom today, and soon gained employment with an engineer, earning 60 florins a month. But the job was short-lived. Tesla continued traveling, making his way through Zagreb to the small coastal village of Mingarg. He would not return home, for he didn't want to confront his parents. At the same time, however, Tesla also continued his quest for a solution to the problem of removing the commutator from the DC generator. His cousin, Dr. Nikola Pribic, recalled a story he had heard as a boy growing up in Yugoslavia in the 1920s. "My mother told us he would always like to be alone when Tesla visited us. In the morning he would go off into the woods and meditate. He would measure one tree to another, making notes, experimenting stringing wires between them and transmitting current. Peasants passing by would be astonished at such an erratic person. They would approach and say, 'We're sorry, your cousin seems to be crazy.'" Having finally located his son, after word from Kulishish, who had seen Tesla in Maribor, Milutin travelled north to discuss his academic problems. Tesla refused to return to Graz, so Milutin offered a solution. His son would make a fresh start at another university. They returned to Gospic. Re-accepted into the family, Tesla began once again to attend church to hear his father's sermons. There he met Anna. She was tall and beautiful with extraordinary understandable eyes. For the first and only time in his life, Tesla would say, I fell in love. Delighting in her company, Nicola would take Anna for strolls by the river, or back to Smiljan, where they would talk about the future. He wanted to become an electrical engineer. She wanted to raise a family. The following year, Milutin passed away, and a few months later, in 1880, Tesla left for Bohemia, now in the Czech Republic, to carry out my father's wish and continue my education. He promised to write to Anna, but their romance was doomed, and she would marry shortly thereafter. Tesla enrolled in the Charles Ferdinand branch of the University of Prague, one of the foremost institutions in Europe, for the summer term. According to Ernst Mach, who a decade earlier had transferred from Graz to be appointed Rector Magnificus, Prague was a city rich in talented people, with street signs often appearing in half a dozen languages. Although the city was filled with majestic buildings, sanitary conditions were severely lacking. To avoid typhoid fever, one had to boil water or obtain mineral water from springs to the north. Just 2 years after Tesla's stay, Harvard psychologist William James would come to visit to meet with Mach and Mach's arch-rival Karl Stumpf, ordinary professor of philosophy. Stumpf was a student of the controversial ex-priest Franz Brentano, who also influenced another pupil, Sigmund Freud, and was also Tesla's philosophy teacher. Other courses Tesla undertook included analytical geometry with Heinrich Dürreger, experimental physics with Karol Domalip, both ordinary professors, and higher mathematics with Anton Puschta, who was an extraordinary professor from the German Technical University, also in Prague. With Stumpf, Tesla studied Scottish philosopher David Hume. Raised as a child prodigy of music, the acerbic and sharp-nosed Stumpf opposed a number of key psychophysicists, including the famed Wilhelm Wundt, as well as Mach. But at the same time, he also helped shape the thinking of a number of key students, such as phenomenologist Edmund Husserl and Gestalt psychologist Wolfgang Kohler. A persuasive advocate of Hume's radical skepticism, Stumpf argued for the concept of the tabula rasa. Basing his thinking on Aristotle and John Locke, both of whom repudiated the concept of innate ideas, Stumpf stated that the human mind was born a blank state, a tabula rasa. Impinging on it, after birth, were all of the primary quality of things, that is, true knowledge about the world. Through the sense organs, Tesla learned the brain mechanically recorded incoming data. The mind, according to Hume, was nothing more than a simple compilation of cause and effect sensations. What we call ideas were secondary impressions derived from these primary sensations. The will and even the soul were reduced by Hume to impressions and associations of impressions. At this time, Tesla also studied the theories of Descartes, who envisioned animals, including man, as simply automata incapable of actions other than those characteristic of a machine. This line of thinking would dominate Tesla's worldview, and would, ironically, serve as the template for a mechanistic paradigm that would lead the inventor to discover his most original creations, even though the whole idea of original discovery appears to be antithetical to this extrinsically motivated Aristotelian premise. According to Tesla, and to this view, all of his discoveries were derived from the outside world. Although Tesla does not overtly refer to Stumpf's perceived adversary, in retrospect it appears obvious that Stumpf's opposition did not stop Tesla from studying Mach's experiments in wave mechanics. Born in Moravia, now the Czech Republic, in 1838, Mach graduated from the University of Vienna in 1860. By 1864, he was a full professor at Graz, and by 1867, he was head of the Department of Experimental Physics at Prague, with 4 books and 62 articles to his credit. Influenced by the research in psychophysics of Fechner in Graz and Ludwig von Helmholtz in Berlin, Mach studied the workings of the human eye along with his Prague colleague, famed physiologist and philosopher Jan Purkinje. Both the eye and the ear collected information from the outside world, analyzed it, and transferred it via electrical impulses in the nerves to the respective processing centers in the brain. This traditional line of research had been taken by many other well-known scientists, including Isaac Newton, Johann von Goethe, and Herbert Spencer, all favorites of Tesla's. In his laboratory, Mark had constructed a famous instrument known as a wave machine. This device could make progressive and standing longitudinal and transverse waves. Mark could display a number of mechanical effects with these acoustic waves and demonstrate the analogy between acoustic and electromagnetic events. By this means, the mechanical theory of the ether could also be demonstrated. By studying acoustical wave motion in association with mechanical, electrical, and optical phenomena, Mark discovered that when the speed of sound was achieved, the nature of an airflow over an object changed dramatically. This threshold value became known as Mach 1. Mark also wrote on the structure of the ether and hypothesized that it was inherently linked to a gravitational attraction between all masses in the universe. Influenced overtly by Buddhist writings, which no doubt filtered down to esoteric discussions by the university students, Mark could hypothesize that no event in the universe was separate from any other. The inertia of a system is reduced to a functional relationship between the system and the rest of the universe. This viewpoint was extended to the relationship of mental events to exterior influences. Like Stumpf, he agreed that every mental event had to have a corresponding physical action. Since Mark's writing so closely paralleled Tesla's later research and philosophical outlook, Mark seems a curious omission from Tesla's published writings. By the time Tesla left the university at the end of the term, he had made great strides, both theoretical and practical, in solving the AC dilemma. "It was in that city," Tesla said, "that I made a decided advance, which consisted in detaching the commutator from the machine and studying the phenomena in this new aspect." With the death of his father, he needed to earn his own living. He began an apprenticeship in teaching, but did not enjoy it. Uncle Pajo suggested that he move to Hungary, where employment could be obtained through a military friend, Ferenc Puskás, who ran the new American telephone exchange with his brother Tivadar. In January 1881, Tesla moved to Budapest, but he found to his dismay that the operation had not yet been launched. The Puskás brothers were very busy men, running operations in St. Petersburg and overseeing in Paris Thomas Edison's incandescent lamp exhibit at the Paris Exposition and fixing the lighting system at the Opera House there. Out of funds and without a job, Tesla approached the engineering department at the Central Telegraph Office of the Hungarian government and talked his way into a position as a draftsman and designer. Working for a subsistence salary, he utilized what little surplus funds he had to purchase equipment to further his experiments. Antony Szigeti, a former classmate and engineer from Hungary, with the body of Apollo and a big head with a lump on the side that gave him a startling appearance, became Tesla's friend and confidant. Many a night when the budding inventor was not enmeshed in his research, the two fellows would meet at the local cafes where they would discuss the events of the day or compete in such friendly games as determining who could drink the most milk. On one such occasion, Tesla claimed he was beaten after the 38th bottle. Due to his meager funds and general inability to budget himself, Tesla had but one suit, which had withered from use. It was the time of a religious festival, and Szigeti inquired what Tesla would be wearing. Stuck for an answer, the youthful inventor came upon the clever idea of turning his suit inside out, planning thereby to show up with a seemingly new set of clothes. All night was spent tailoring and ironing. But when one starts with a wrong premise, no amount of patching can right the problem. The outfit looked ridiculous, and Tesla stayed home instead. In a few months, the American telephone exchange opened there in Budapest, and Tesla and Szigeti immediately gained employment. The new enterprise allowed the young engineers to finally learn firsthand how the most modern inventions of the day operated. It was also the first time that Tesla was introduced to the work of Thomas Edison, the Napoleon of invention, whose improvements on Bell's telephone helped revolutionize the field of communications. Up the poles, Tesla would climb to check the lines and repair equipment. On the ground, he worked as a mechanic and mathematician. There he studied the principle of induction, whereby a mass with an electric or electromagnetic charge can provide a corresponding charge or force or magnetism in a second mass without contact. He also studied a number of Edison's inventions, such as his multiplex telegraph, which allowed 4 Morse-coded messages to be sent in 2 directions simultaneously, and his new induction-triggered carbon disc speaker, the flat, circular, easily removable device which is still found in the mouthpiece of every telephone today. As was his nature, Tesla took apart the various instruments and conceived ways of improving them. By giving the carbon disc a conical shape, he fashioned an amplifier which repeated and boosted transmission signals. Tesla had invented a precursor of the loudspeaker. He never bothered to obtain a patent on it. Except for friendly diversion with Zygerde, Tesla's every spare moment was spent reworking the problem of eliminating the commutator in DC machines and harnessing AC without cumbersome intermediaries. Although a solution seemed imminent, the answer would not be revealed. Hundreds of hours were spent building and rebuilding equipment and discussing his ideas with his friend. He pored over his calculations and reviewed the work of others. Tesla later wrote, "With me, it was a sacred vow, a question of life or death. I knew that I would perish if I failed." Monomaniacal in pursuit of his goal, he gave up sleep or rest of any kind, straining every fiber to prove once and for all that he was right and Professor Purschel and the rest of the world were wrong. His body and brain finally gave out, and he suffered a severe nervous collapse, experiencing an illness that surpasses all belief. Claiming that his pulse raced to 250 beats per minute, his body twitched and quivered incessantly. "I could hear the ticking of a watch 3 rooms away. A fly alighting on a table would cause a dull thud in my ear. A carriage passing at a distance fairly shook my whole body. I had to support my bed on rubber cushions to get any rest at all. The sun's rays, when periodically intercepted, would cause blows of such force on my brain that they would stun me. In the dark, I had the sense of a bat and could detect the presence of an object by a peculiar creepy sensation on the forehead. A respected doctor pronounced his malady unique and incurable." Desperately clinging to life, Tesla was not expected to recover. Tesla attributes his revival to a powerful desire to live and to continue the work, and to the assistance of the athletic Zygerde, who forced him outdoors and got him to undertake healthful exercises. Mystics attributed the event to the triggering of his pineal gland and corresponding access to higher mystical states of consciousness. During a walk in the park with Zygerde at sunset, the solution to the problem suddenly became manifest as he was reciting a glorious passage from Goethe's Faust. "See how the setting sun with ruddy glow the green embosomed hamlet fires. He sinks and fades. The day is lived and gone. He hastens forth new scenes of life to waken. Oh, for a wing to lift and bear me on and on to where his last rays beckon." "As I uttered these inspiring words," Tesla declared, "the truth was suddenly revealed. I drew with a stick on the sand the diagrams shown 6 years later in my address before the American Institute of Electrical Engineers. Pygmalion, seeing his statue come to life, could not have been more deeply moved. 1,000 secrets of nature which I might have stumbled upon accidentally, I would have given for that one which I had wrestled from her against all odds and at the peril of my existence." Tesla emphasized that his conceptualization involved new principles rather than refinements of pre-existing work. The AC creation came to be known as the rotating magnetic field. Simply stated, Tesla utilized 2 circuits instead of the customary single circuit to transmit electrical energy and thus generated dual currents 90 degrees out of phase with each other. The net effect was that a receiving magnet or motor armature by means of induction would rotate in space and thereby continually attract a steady stream of electrons, whether or not the charge was positive or negative. He also worked out the mechanism to explain the effect. "In less than 2 months," Tesla wrote, "I evolved virtually all the types of motors and modifications of the system now identified with my name. It was a mental state of happiness as complete as I have ever known in my life. Ideas came in an uninterrupted stream, and the only difficulty I had was to hold them fast." Tesla invented at this time not only single-phase motors, whereby the two circuits were 90 degrees